Pray with me. Father, we thank you for God the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth as we speak words. May they be words of life. Encourage our hearts today to follow your pattern, to follow your will, to follow your way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you again, Karen and Gene Meese. That's my favorite, People Need the Lord. And today I'm going to speak about something that's very dear to the hearts of Christians, but especially to Seventh-day Adventist Christians. I would like to make a religious liberty emphasis. Now I will warn you ahead of time, if you don't pay close attention, you won't be sure this is a religious liberty sermon, but it is. And I know ahead of time that the words that will be spoken today are very sobering. And I hope you will take the message in the right spirit. Amen. It's the message the Lord has given me, and it's the message that I'm going to give. But I trust it will be in the right spirit. I'd like to ask you a question and see what you think about it. Have you ever felt in your life that God was no longer with you? You don't have to answer that outward. I'll answer. I felt that. I know that's embarrassing to say for a minister to say, but I felt at least, I'm glad it doesn't come often, but I have felt that there were times that I felt that God was no longer with me, and that's not a good feeling. But what I'm going to talk about today is not just a feeling, but our reaction to it. How do you react when you determine or you have decided that God is no longer with you? How do you react? And we're going to see that in Exodus, the 32nd chapter, if you would turn there. And what's so sobering about what I'm getting ready to share with you is that this is God's people. That's, you know, and I've read this before, but it just hit me differently this time. How did God's people react when they felt that God was not with them? Now, if you read the 24th chapter of Exodus and continue your reading, you'll find that God called Moses to the mount to receive the Ten Commandments. And Moses left the people and he was accompanied by Joshua. Now this is just a sidebar, but I'm amazed at the faithfulness of Joshua. Do you know that he accompanied Moses up to the mount, but he had to stay on the fringes? He couldn't actually go in the presence of God. Moses went, but Joshua stayed. Guess how long Moses was gone? 6 weeks. And Joshua stayed there at his post, waiting for Moses to come down. I don't know what he was doing for 6 weeks, but he was there. That kind of faithfulness it's very encouraging to see that kind of faithfulness. And so Moses goes up to receive the Ten Commandments and instructions on the priesthood and instructions in worship. That's what he was doing there. And wouldn't you know that while the leader was gone and they could see God's presence over the mount, they could see the brightness, they could see something going on, but as it was taking a long time for Moses to come back, guess what the people did? They got together and had prayer and fasting. I'm embarrassed. I wish I could tell you that that's what the people of God did. They got discouraged. They felt, they said, this Moses, this guy, he's not coming back. And they reacted. When we think God's no longer with us, how do we react? The story says, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. And for as this Moses, the man who brought us out of Egypt, the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off your golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me." People did what he said. And they received the gold from their hands, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a golden calf. You know, when people feel that God may not be with them, one of the things that happens is people become fearful of the future. And when they become fearful of the future, they react in the way that Aaron reacted. And that's what's most embarrassing about this story. The minister, the leader. He was afraid for his own life. He was afraid that the people wouldn't like him. So he fashioned a golden calf. Let me tell you something about leaders. You have to pick another leader. Make sure that you don't have a leader who is afraid. You don't want a leader who is afraid of you or afraid to do what's right. That's no leader. Amen? Now, I know I've made my share of mistakes here at Fallbrook, but it wasn't because I was afraid. You can be sure of that. I've made them because it was just stupid things, but it's not because of fear. Amen? That's not a leader. And you know what I don't like about this story? Now, if the people wanted to make a golden calf, they should have gone ahead on and made one. But no, they call Aaron. They call the pastor and wanted the pastor to sanction, to endorse their wrongdoing. Oh, help me. I tell you, I told you it was going to be sobering today. They wanted the leader to endorse, to sanction their wrongdoing. If you're going to do wrong, just go ahead out there and do it. Don't get somebody else tied up in your doing wrong. I know I wasn't going to get amen on that, but that's okay. It's truth anyhow. Aaron, you know, that bothers me that Aaron was spineless. He was worried about his safety. And made it so worse, he went against the first and second commandments of all people. The leader, the pastor. We become fearful of the future. Not only that, how we react when we feel God's no longer with us. You know how we react? We will go totally opposite of our values and principles. I shouldn't tell you this, but I'll tell you anyway. In the seminary, you know, the ministers kind of get together and we talk. You know one of the things we used to say? When a Seventh-day Adventist goes away from the values and principles that they have been taught, they go whole hog. I know hog doesn't allow, you know, that doesn't go along with us as Adventists. But they just go, you know, they go full out there. They try and get everything in they couldn't do. They try and get it in quick. We used to talk about that. We go totally against our principles and our values. You know something? And we find ourselves doing something we would never imagine we would have done. You know I'm telling the truth. You know why I think that happens to a certain degree? go against our values and principles, and we construct a golden calf because we want something, and I think this is affecting where we are today in our churches. And I think it's a legitimate feeling. I think it's real. I think we have to deal with it. Do you know, as a general rule, it's my belief that our young people today want a faith that they can touch and they can feel. And you can give them the truth, and they'll leave this church to go to a church where they can feel and touch God. You see, the children of Israel always had problems after they had been in Egypt for 400 years, where they had gods there that they can touch and feel. They had gold and wood and so on. They were not comfortable with this invisible God stuff. And our young people will leave our church to go to a place where they can throw up their hands. Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to agree with me, but I know it's true. They want a religion that they can touch and feel. And I'll tell you this, you may disagree with me, but at some point in your religious spiritual life, God ought to do something to you that'll make you hop up out of your seat. Come on. Oh, help me. Y'all think I'm talking Pentecostal and some of you getting afraid. That's not what I'm talking about. The God I serve ought to do something for you that'll make you shout hallelujah. Amen. Sooner or later, that ought to happen. And your young people ought to see that happen. They ought to know that there's not only the intellectual aspect of faith, but there is a feeling part to faith. Amen. Thank you. I know that that's different, and I'm not trying to change, but I hope you get what I'm... What this got to do with religious liberty? I know, I say you have to stay with me, or you'll get lost on this one. You won't know that it happened. But when we feel that God's presence is not with us, we'll construct a golden calf. We will go totally against our values and principles. And we'll want a faith. We'll want something that we can touch and feel. And being fearful of the future can cause us to feel in a fearful state, which is dangerous. Because when we are in a fearful state, it can make us react in some strange ways. And when we're fearful of things that are different, what we do is pronounce judgment on the thing that is different. And if the thing, even if it's religion, even if it's faith, if it's too different, we judge it, and if we judge it, if we're not careful, we will take away religious freedoms. So if we hear terms like Seventh-day Adventist, that sounds pretty different. We're challenged by even saying that name today. People will judge you when you tell them. If they'll ask you what church you belong to, tell them you're a Seventh-day Adventist. Watch their reaction. They'll put a judgment on you real quick. Real quick. They don't even know you. They haven't had a chance to know you. But just tell the name of your church. It'll challenge you. People will make judgments on you. And if they'll make judgments and they don't watch their values and their principles, they'll take away your religious freedom. Now, let me tell you another story about how, this is what's so sobering, about how people react when they feel God's presence is no longer with them. In 1994, the president of Rwanda was coming back from a peacekeeping mission. His plane was shot down and he was killed. Because of that, war broke out in Rwanda. Now, what's significant about that, that at the time, it was one of the most Christianized African nations. 70% were Roman Catholic Christians, 12% were Protestants, and of the Protestants, the two largest Protestant groups were various evangelicals and Seventh-day Adventists. Intertribal war broke out in Rwanda. 500,000 people were killed. We don't talk about that much. How does 500,000 people die in a war and we don't even hardly talk about it? 2.5 million were displaced from their homes. Again, remember that Seventh-day Adventist, the second largest Protestant group there in Rwanda. Intertribal wars broke out, and they did a study afterwards and found out that what was sparking that war was the government itself. Through radio, through media, through the army, through the government, the highest post in the land, inciting the people to carry guns and machetes. And I can't tell you, when they went to examine international observers, I can't tell you what they saw, because I can't speak it in front of your children. They tried to find out where the Seventh-day Adventists, what happened to the 300,000 Seventh-day Adventists that were there in Rwanda, and 100,000 of them were missing from the church. And this is the saddest part. When you read, and I'm quoting the article from Roland Nawusi, who writes about this, I'm quoting him, "There's no evidence of our church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, supporting genocide in Rwanda. But I'm telling you, if you'll Google that today, sad situation is, you're going to find some Seventh-day Adventist names connected with that mess. Isn't that tragic? How in the world could a Seventh-day Adventist Christian get caught up in that? How in the world could that happen? When you hear stories like this, it lets me know that at any time, if we're not careful, we can make a golden calf. During times in our lives, when we feel God's no longer with us, we can go out there in the world and do some of the stupidest things. But I am so grateful today that there's a group of people who, no matter what, is going to do what's right. That's what you read in Daniel chapter 3. You remember the story in Daniel chapter 2? King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream of all kinds, a great image of all kinds of metals. He decides in chapter 3 he didn't like that dream. He's going to make an image of all gold. Remember that? A golden calf. It just happened to be looking like a man. He made a golden calf. And he wanted everybody to bow down and to worship it. But there were three. Could have been more, but the Bible talks about three: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who said, "I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to bow down to any of that, even if it means death." You know how hard that is? to be singular? Do you know how hard it is to be some of the only? You know, I really empathize with our young people who have to share their faith with other young people and say, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I know they look at them, what in the world is that? Come on, y'all can, you can tell me. I know they face that. How tough that is to be singular. But God shows us examples of young men who were willing to be what they were. Even if it meant death. About a month ago, and I'm quoting from the AP. In fact, these two statements I make are coming from the AP. I want that to go over the, when it goes over the internet, when they tape my message, I want them to know this is coming from the AP, Associated Press. This minister, a Baptist minister, decided in his pulpit to publicly support candidate Mike Huckabee. And the IRS was on his door right away. There's a prominent candidate running right now. His initials are O.B. And I'm quoting this from the AP. He's been a member of a particular Christian church for 20-some years. They asked him to give a sermon, which he did. And now they put the IRS on his church. That's today. I'm saying when people get fearful and you appear to be something different, they'll take away your religious freedom. That's why I had to say, I'm quoting from the Associated Press. You see, I can't stand up here in this pulpit and get political. Because if one of you out there doesn't like it, you can sic the IRS on me, and it will affect the church's tax-exempt status. That's the truth. This is not the same church you grew up in. This is not the same world of 50 years ago. Do you know the new trend now? This was shared in workers' meeting last week to all the Adventist pastors in Southeast California Conference. They told us, and I'm quoting what was said in workers' meeting, that we needed to be careful as ministers. Because as a new trend, if people don't like what you do, they will put your information, even lies, out on the internet. And so when person types on the computer and goes to Google and type your name, you see a bunch of trash under your name. They told us to be careful as we deal with the public. The new trend is if you go into a restaurant and you don't give a tip, the waiters and the waitresses will take your name and put it over the internet and tell the world that you're cheap. I kid you not. This is the new trend. Especially if you pay with a credit card, you better throw a tip on that table. Because they'll get your name and put it on the internet. And when they, and you ought to try that at some time. You ought to Google your own name and see what comes up. You ought to Google Seventh-day Adventist and see what comes up. You'll see some junk out there. along with the truth, there's a lot of mess. There's a lot of things that are not true. What is all this all about? Well, if you read the end of the story of Exodus 32, go into chapter 33. I challenge you to go into chapter 33. You'll find something very interesting. I'm going to say something that's controversial, but I'll say it because it's true. We don't talk much anymore about jewelry, but I challenge you to read Exodus 32 and 33. I'll leave it there. What's the ending of the story? Moses, God told Moses, get down to see your people. In fact, Joshua thought that it was war in the camp. There was so much noise. And when they got down, and I asked somebody, and some of you could help me, I do believe there are several places that it says that the people were dancing and having a good time around the golden calf naked. Moses was absolutely startled when he saw it. He took the Ten Commandments, threw it down, and broke it. Took the remains, the dust of it, and put it in the water, and told the people to drink it. Made them drink it. You know that'll get us fired today, isn't that right? Don't do that, all right? Alex, don't do that, all right? Guess who spoke up for these people? Moses. God was going to kill them all. Moses said, don't do that. I love my people. Don't do that to them. God was just kind of testing Moses, you know. Moses came through. God spared the life of the people who were willing to follow him. Some of them still didn't follow him. God had to get rid of them because some of them were just hard-headed. I told you it's going to be sobering today. You probably say, boy, I'm sorry he came back from wherever he was. But every now and then we just got to tell it, folks. We have to tell it like it is. You know what the gist sometimes we think God's not with us because when we're the people of God, if anything negative happens to us, we start thinking God's not with us. I don't know where we've gotten that from. Any tough thing happens to us, God must be not with us. And we think because we're thankful for that we live healthy, that we eat healthy, that we believe in clean living. I'm so happy that we have that. Don't ever abandon that. But sometimes if we're not careful, we can think that that gives us a check in the block and we don't have troubles. If you eat enough vegetarian meat, no troubles. But we need to know that we are still saved by grace. And troubles will come our way. And we have to be careful about when we think God's no longer with us, of making golden calves. There is no metal, no wood, no object. There's nothing that we can make to take the place of Jesus. Jesus is all the God you need. And don't wait too long to find that out. Don't spend all of your life making golden calves to find out that it's nothing. make golden calf out and we say it comes out of the fire. And God one day is going to take fire to unmake our golden calves. Everything that you have materially will be gone one day. Every single bit of it. Next week, you don't want to miss next week. I'm going to say something to, I hope it will encourage those who are having a very tough time with what's going on economically. I want to encourage you next week. So don't let this discourage you so you won't come back. I got some encouraging words for you next week. But I'm telling you, every single thing that we own will be taken away from us, will be burnt up, because it's nothing but a calf. It's not the real thing. God has so much more for us. And the real gist of Exodus 32 is it shows the kind of religious world that we would build. That's what Exodus 32 shows. If we get our hands into the religious world, what we will come up with. When we get our hands into what we shouldn't have our hands in, it gets messed up. Even to the point of taking away freedoms. I know it's hard. It's hard for us to believe that the world will take away our religious freedoms. That's a concept that's very I challenge you to go back and just read Revelation 13 again. Challenge you. You know what disturbed me about the whole thing of the story? That the people said, if you have one of the old King James Version, it'll show you. You know what it says? It says, these be our gods. Can you believe that? Can you believe that it came out of the mouth of God's people? That they took a golden calf over the God of the universe? Can you believe that? That's what happens when we get into religion. We will mess it up. And we're not careful, we're going to mess up this church. I'm talking about the Advent. If we keep on, we're going to mess it up. You know, we ought to stay out of it. And we ought to be directed by God the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's who ought to be our leader. And then if your other leader goes away for 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years, it's all right. You're still being led. May God help us. Most of you know, I shared with you that my wife and I were in Dallas. We went away to Dallas for some business, and since I was there, the day after we got back, you may have heard the story of a police officer who had been in police work for over 20 years, was leading the motorcade of Hillary Rodham Clinton, and he crashed into a concrete barrier and lost his life. You know, they never did. At least I didn't hear how his wife and four kids felt about that. But you know something? If that kind of tragedy hit, if you're not careful, you'll make a golden calf. That kind of tragedy will help. It will cause you to make a golden calf. And it might be drinking, depression, drugs, cynical, cold, divorce, you name it. It can lead you down that direction. But I want you to be like the Hebrew worthies. You're not going to let go of Jesus. You're not going to make a calf no matter what. I don't care what hits you. You're going to stay strong with Jesus. You're going to let him be your God. I wish I could tell you won't have any troubles. That's not Bible. But you'll have everything you need to get out of this world. You'll have Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, sobering message and a great God. Oh, how great you are. Lord, we're glad that you are God, because we would have destroyed all of the children of Israel right then and there. But you are God of love and mercy. And when the people were willing to truly repent, Lord, you reversed your decision. Lord, you sent a Savior. Moses, for the children of Israel, was that Savior. And the Savior for the world is Jesus. We can never thank you enough. We can never turn our backs on you, no matter how difficult it gets. And Lord, we cannot turn our backs on others through taking away their right to worship you according to the way they want. We can't go against that. Those are principles for us to live by. Oh Lord, bless this church. May this church always be a beacon of light as it regards religious freedom. May we shine forth until that day when you come again to receive us unto yourself. Until that day, keep us in Jesus' name. Amen.